How about now?
How you doing, Salsa?
You're the one that wanted me to come over.
I never thought I'd say this, but I wish James was here. Greetings, Happer Posse. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast. With your hosts, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's all you get tonight, kids.
That's all.
Nope, no, that was wrong the wrong one. God damn it. There it is.
There we go. Yeah, no, James is under the weather this week.
He's not as tall as he used to be, so now he's under the weather. Because, never mind. Oh, I see why James does it now. That look is fun.
Okay, jumping straight to the drinks.
Yeah. I'm going boring. I've got a Grey Duck Bomba Juice. Had it before. Gonna have it again. Doing it.
Indeed. I am going a little bit more festive, I think. My wife brought home some eggnog because eggnog is amazing.
Well, sure.
I was like, oh, I'm going to have myself a White Russian because I like White Russians with eggnog, a little Christmas Russian. And discovered that I had no Kahlua in the house.
That's probably my fault.
I wasn't going to say it, but yes.
You want me to bring over some Kahlua?
Could probably use a little more Kahlua in the house.
Okay.
I'll make a note. However, I do have, listeners will remember from a while back, when I went to visit relatives in Rapid City, I have this contraband, Black Hills Contraband liqueur in various flavors, and one of them is Holiday Cheer.
Oh.
And I thought, well, this seems like a match made in heaven.
Yo, dog, I heard you like eggnog.
So I took some Holiday Cheer and poured it in with some eggnog and mixed, and it turned out pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it eggnoggy?
It is noggy. It's the Holiday Cheer is, I think, everybody who remembers when we were drinking these the first
None
time
of
around.
Us remember.
Well, they are. So this one's got a gingerbready flavorness to it. Yeah, and so the gingerbread with the eggnog together goes really well. And the liqueur itself is really sweet. That's kind of the problem we had with all of the contraband ones.
They were very sweet.
But putting it in with the eggnog helps with that.
So spread the sweetness a bit.
Exactly. So you get the eggnog and you get the gingerbread together, and it makes for a very festive little
nice. Drink. Nice.
So what you been up to?
Oh God, I did a show.
Yay!
Okay. So I'm going to start with this, and it's going to sound sad, but let me continue. So, I have done a lot of storytelling shows.
Mm-hmm.
And unless it's Fringe, nobody that I know personally comes to see my storytelling shows. I can count on one hand the number of people that have come to see my storytelling shows like in the past few years. Like, it just doesn't happen. And it's for a variety of reasons. Number one, a lot of people in my age group and friends group have kids. So it gets hard to get out.
Selfish bastards.
No, what the hell? I got mine done and out of the way right away. God, you guys. Out of the way. I'm always in the way. That's not even a thing. Psh. Anyway. And up until this past weekend, there were only two people that came to my shows. One of them is actually a previous guest on the podcast. I'm not going to name names, but thank you. And the other one's my boyfriend. But this weekend, I had two more friends show up to come specifically to come see my storytelling
show. Yay,
so
friends.
It's very exciting. Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I don't think it's, I didn't even push this one this hard. I've just kind of gotten to the point where it's like, eh, whatever. People got lives. I think also people just assume I'm doing things so much they'll catch me eventually. but then they never do. But I think it's like that mental processing thing, right? Like, oh, there will be another thing Jenna does because there's always another thing Jenna does. And yeah.
Yeah, it's the surplus fallacy.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Mm. So, this show was, it was called The Body Show.
Mm-hmm.
B-O-D-Y. Body, not body.
Giggity.
Body. It was a bunch of storytellers talking about body stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about perimenopause.
Ooh, how'd that go?
And how incredibly disgusting it is. I went for the gross factor. And like, as I was writing this, I was like, this will be fine as long as I don't open. So on Thursday, I opened. And like, I was like, are you sure you want to put me up first?
I just, for a moment, want to point out the fact that you had a couple friends show up to your show who had not been to the show before.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing is you being incredibly disgusting.
To be fair, the second show, they put me up first after intermission.
Okay.
They moved me back, so I wasn't the first person to go up.
Still.
And a person before me, like, in the first half, had talked about their colonoscopy. So, like...
Okay.
You know, I was...
So, relatively.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and there was a breather in between, sure. You know. Anyway.
In between the colonoscopy and the menopause, there's a breather.
Yeah. But there was another person that did a story on perimenopause as well.
Mm.
But she basically did her senior thesis paper on sex hormones. So she came at it from a very different angle than I did in some ways. And it was interesting to see the areas in which it overlapped. Some of it talking about symptoms, because you gotta. But another part of it was just talking about it. Like, we just don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a very learned woman and did not know about perimenopause. Mm. Like, didn't know that it was this thing or what kind of symptoms to look for or any of this. She's just like, my body's being weird. Mm-hmm. That's not right. So, yeah, in part, it made me feel less dumb about knowing as much about it before I got into it.
Mm-hmm.
And in part, it's like, yeah, it's really kind of feels like we need to be talking about it a lot because nobody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like she took it from the perspective of patriarchy. I took it from the perspective of nobody talks about it because it's fucking gross.
Mm.
And who likes to talk about gross things? I do. Buckle up.
My son.
I think at one point, I was very specific. I did not gender anything. I talked about uteruses and vaginas and the uterine lining and like all this stuff. Using medical terms. I don't think anybody even that I didn't.
But if you're like, doing it right, nobody should notice.
Yeah. The only time I even think I mentioned women was when I was talking about the women in my family history. They all happen to be women. All right, cool. So, yeah. But yeah, so I had talked about that, but because I made that decision. Let's see, so where I was. So because I had made the decision, I'm pretty sure I lost that train of thought. Damn it, I had it. I'd made the decision to use medical terms. And I think that that kind of upped the uncomfortableness for some people just a little bit.
I can see that, yeah.
At which point I was like, yeah, I don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be talking about uteruses and vaginas, and if you have problems with that, too goddamn bad. And my next line was...
You came to a show called Body.
Right. Like... So I said, if you don't like it, that's too bad. So with all of that said, let's talk about old vaginas. And I just kind of went into it from there. Yep. Setting a tone, bitches. But I talked about...
Old vaginas sounds like vaginas. Something that, like, some coot on a front porch... on a rocking chair and be like, oh, yeah, that'd be old vagina. Back in 73, me and old vagina went hunting bear.
It was a bloody mess.
God damn it. Old vagina was a bloody fool.
Uh-huh. But going into it, like, I talked about flow, I talked about hot flashes, I talked about waking up in a pool of your own sweat, I talked about, how I was able to tell that, that something was going on with my body, which is basically I managed to gain weight, which up until... a long time ago, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was gaining weight, and my periods became regular. And I was like, something's not right here.
None of this adds up.
What? And they're like, yeah, perimenopause. And I'm like, I don't... That's not something I thought to look for. Regular periods. As a sign of perimenopause.
I mean, if you take... I mean, two negatives equals a positive, right?
Sure. But yeah, so I just talked about so much of the grosser aspects of it. I mean, I can talk about perimenopause for hours on end. I have done it before.
You quite literally have.
On this podcast, yeah. But I only had 7 to 10 minutes for the show, so I had to...
So you had to pack it in.
Truncate it and get to a specific point. So, yeah. And there were so many good shows or good stories that happened during those shows. Oh, we had one on anorexia. One, like I said, colonoscopy. which I was like, oh, I could share stories about. Nope. Too late. And then, let's see. One was a trans guy talking about his dad bod.
Mm.
That one was really fascinating. There were so many different ones. One about going through, having an autoimmune disease and what that's like. So it was just this wide variety of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of it fascinating. I don't think anybody was bad. I think there were some people I connected to better mm-hmm. than others, but, like, that happens in any variety show.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
yeah.
just how these things work.
Some people are just going to have some that one thing that just speaks to you.
Exactly. So, and we had... I don't think either of the houses were full houses, but they were real close, okay. both of them. So, and I think that's an 80-some seater...
Which theater?
I don't remember. Strike?
Strike is...
Maybe 90? I don't...
Somewhere in there, yeah. I don't remember exactly.
I don't think it's quite 100.
Yeah,
I think it's something. But
anyway. Yeah, I think it's an 80-something seater.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's not bad. I only did Thursday and Saturday, because one of my friends decided he needed to have a birthday party on Friday.
Boo. Lame.
God, but it was at a winery and wine and cedary.
Have more birthdays.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I will go to a place where I can actually drink the alcohol there. So many people have things at breweries now. I'm just like, y'all take whatever that fucking thing is over there that's not like the one foofy drink that they have for the
sure,
people.
Sure, yeah, they've either got a seltzer water or they've got a root beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but that was fun. It was at Urban Forage, which is a place that does their stuff from things that they actively collect around the neighborhoods. So, like, if somebody has an apple tree that they're not going to be collecting off of, they'll contact these people, and they'll just come get the apples for them, which is also less mess for the people.
Okay, so it's not so much a winery as kind of just a whatever you've got.
Well, winery and cedary.
Oh, okay.
Or meadery, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, they had wine and mead and cider.
Okay.
So, gotcha. Yep. I think they said cider. I don't think they said meadery. That's going to bother me until I look it up later. Anyway, but yeah, they had all three there.
But so. Locally sourced stuff.
Yeah, locally sourced. Like, they'll be driving by, and if they see something, they'll be like, hey, can we have that? And the person's like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Very fascinating little spot. It's a couple blocks down from Merlin's. So, like, and I've never seen it. It's like,
yeah, no, I'm
such
not,
a little hole in the wall thing.
I'm not familiar with them at all.
Yeah. They had a peach wine that was delightful. I loved their raspberry cider. They had something called Black Velvet that was tasty but a little tart for me.
It was like a blackberry something?
There's some tart berry.
Interesting.
I couldn't quite tell what the berry was.
Okay.
But that was lovely because I got to hang out with friends I hadn't seen for a while and just gab and stuff. We were, I brought Joe because the fool said I could bring my boyfriend. And so Joe and I, when we go to social events, he and I socialize just a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
If he is not hosting, he is the very loud, bombastic, kind of in-your-face dude.
Yeah, life of the party.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so he's just kind of wandering, doing his thing, and I'm the one that kind of, like, has the smaller conversations. So we were
smaller,
doing that.
More in-depth, like, philosophical stuff going on.
Yeah, so I was talking to a couple people, and, like, Joe is maybe 4 feet away from me, talking to another person, a very attractive young lady. Maybe not so young, but whatever. Very attractive woman. And I hear my name. And so, like, I look over, and I'm like, hi! And then I go back to my conversation. And apparently, this chick had been chatting him up. And I was like, so, she was like, so are you two together? And he was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, really? For how long? And he's like, yeah, it's been like 5 years now. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's good for you. That's so nice. And then, like, ended up not quite just turning away from him, but, like, striking up another conversation
sure,
with the next person
it was
over
clear
right
that
away.
This conversation is going nowhere.
Yeah. So he taps me. He's like, hey, I want to smoke. I was like, sure. Which for us is usually, I got something to share.
I got something to tell you.
I got something to share. So we go outside and he's like, yeah, the chick was kind of chatting me up. I'm like, oh, I was aware. Like, I'm not going to be. I don't know if you want me to play overprotective girlfriend and just kind of like slide in there and put my arm around you and start asking and posing questions. But like, I was aware.
Yeah.
Also, she's hot. So well done, buddy. Like, she's a cutie. Cheers to you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, I mean, that was fun. And yeah, got to catch up with some people and... Like I said, some people I haven't been able to hang out with for quite a while, so it was lovely. It was absolutely lovely. Had a good time. Trying to think of what else I did, and I think that's really the majority of it. Finally Got my Halloween decorations in and mostly packed. I had brought them onto the porch before the snow flew, but not from the porch into things because I had to rearrange some things to put things into things, to get the things into the things so that I had things for the things.
I'm sorry, I think I'm having a stroke.
Basically, I wanted to hang up some costuming, sure. Which would open up some plastic tubs that I can then put my new Halloween stuff into. So I'm going through it and I'm like, am I missing a skull? I feel like I'm missing a skull. Did I have three skulls? Did I only have two skulls? I'm sitting there like just trying to count skulls. Like, how many skulls did I have? Turns out I only had two skulls. So I'm not missing any skulls.
Old Two Skulls Jenna, they call her.
Yeah. Hanging out with old vagina.
Me and old vagina, we put together a posse looking for Two Skulls Jenna.
That sounds correct. So, yeah, I think that's mostly what I did. I can't think of anything exciting. Work's been boring. Like, I've been productive, but not like...
Sure, rub it in.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that job that I have... that I'm getting paid to be there for as opposed to the one that you're getting paid to not be there for.
No, I'm not going to lie. This last week or two of just kind of sitting around at home getting paid for it has been pretty great.
Yep.
In many ways, not getting any responses back from anybody I've applied to yet has been rough. Except for the one who did turn me down. Mm. It was a company with a friend of mine. And who's actually like director level, so has some pull.
Right.
And he was like, no, I don't have anything in my department, but I know some people in some other departments. Sure. And I know you, you've worked for me before. I think you would work well in here and stuff like that. And so I applied this one and they sent me a letter. We're not interested. And I messaged him back and I was like, well, it looks like we're not going to be working together this time around. He was like, what are you talking about? This, I haven't heard anything about this at all. And I was like, yeah, I got this rejection letter. And he was like, give me a minute. And he comes back and he's like, it seems like upper management has had a rethink about open positions.
Oh.
So the job is no longer a thing at all.
Damn it.
So, yeah, that kind of sucked. I was kind of hoping for that one. But, yeah, I've got a few other leads that two other places that I have hopes for. And then there's all the other ones that are just kind of the shotgun-like jobs.
I was about to say, there's always my place of employment. There's always something available for somebody. But it does take, like, the whole application process for that is grueling.
I've
and it's not a great fit for everybody long-term. Like, if you're desperate, cool. If you're looking for a stepping stone in your career, it's often a great place to do that. Long haul isn't for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I kind of had earmarked November as kind of the nepotism month of, like, finding the people that I know in various industries and being like, hey, is your company hiring? You want to refer me? Things like that. But once we get into December, I'm really going to start leaning into the places that I just find job postings for. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens, but... job hunting is like a mere fraction of all of the stuff that I did this week. Oh my God. I did so much. So much.
It was your job and do all of the things.
All of the things. So let me see. Starting on Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm going to have to do this day by day. Starting day on Tuesday, day. I went and saw Foil Arms and Hog.
Yay!
There's the signed poster right behind you, right behind your head.
Yeah. Oh my God, they're right behind me.
Yep. But I got my signed poster.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sit here anymore. They're looking at me funny.
Well, that's kind of their job. That show was holy shit good.
Yeah.
I was about to say they're really good, but at the same time, if they're making their living traveling the world doing comedy, then they better be.
Yeah, they should be.
But yeah, no, super, super good. They At the very beginning of the show, they spent the first 10 minutes or so just kind of doing crowd work.
Okay.
And, like, the three of them were just milling around and kind of one of them was on stage and a couple of them were in the crowd. And they were just chatting with people and you know, making kind of interacting with people and ribbing, you know, asking people where they were from and what they did and then making jokes about that sort of thing. And just kind of getting to know a few people. And then for the rest of the show, they incorporated that information into their show.
Nice.
You know, like there was one person from Rochester, you know, and stuff like that worked for a medical manufacturer for the Mayo Clinic.
Sure.
You know, and throughout the rest of the show, every so often, you know, she's leaving me for someone from Rochester, you know, and things like that would get wrapped into the show for the really well done, too. There was one kid there who was like, I think he was 11, and they were just like making fun of his mom for bringing an 11-year-old to this show. Sure. You know what I mean? All in good fun, but just and then at one point they were just like, we're going to have to disguise you so the security doesn't kick you out. And so they started grabbing things from people around. They just like walk over to somebody five rows back and grab his hat and put it on the kid and like, okay, we'll give that. And here's a scarf from over here and we'll wrap that around you. And we're disguising you. We're disguising you so that security doesn't see there's a kid here. And one of them, Hog, grabs someone's beer. And he's like, here, hold on to this. This will make you look older. And on the one hand, it's like, ha, 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 very funny. And on the other hand, it's just like, you can't do that in this country. That's actually not allowed in this country.
That's actually illegal.
That is, you're actually literally breaking the law right now. So, like, nobody's going to do anything. This is clearly a bit, ha, 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 ha. Ixnay on the ear base.
And now here you are talking about it to our
few statute of limitations. There was no recording, so I could be lying.
Yeah, all right.
No, cool. it was an absolutely hilarious show. They did. It's mostly sketch comedy that they do, but they do a lot of improv.
Okay.
In their sketches, their sketches have a lot of
wiggle room for wiggle, improv.
Exactly. It's sure. A framework of the sketch, and then they really play in it a lot. And sometimes they went off script. And the best part about when they go off script is they make fun of themselves for going off script. and they make a big deal about it. Like there was one part where Arms was supposed to, he's got the wheelie shoes, and he was being a ghostly spirit, and he was supposed to wheelie off the stage, and it failed. And Foyle makes fun of him. He's like, you know, the spirit Sheila is really gonna want that one back in the future, because somebody's been practicing that for 3 months. And then Arms, like, wheelies across the stage behind him, flipping him off from one side to the other. But it was just, it was nonsense and chaos and beautiful, and they did some songs, and it was, this is a new show that they did. Hogwash is a new show that they had just written, and so a lot of the sketches, most of the sketches were new, ones that I had not seen before. There was only one sketch that I had seen before.
Very cool.
And so, yeah, it was a lot of new stuff, a lot of just ridiculously funny stuff. I was beaming. I was so happy the whole time. And afterwards, when it was like, you know, merchandise and meet and greet, I was like, yes.
Yes, I will take advantage of this opportunity. Indeed. Thank you.
They unfortunately did not have any shirts.
Aww.
But they had the posters and things like that. So I got my poster signed and I got a picture. I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put a picture of me standing with Foyle, Arms, and Hog. And just the look on my face is...
Kid in a candy store?
Oh my God.
On Christmas? I was meeting Santa?
I was absolutely... This was meeting three Santas at the same time. It was the best. I was having such a great time. this show was fucking hilarious. So yeah, if y'all ever get the chance to see these guys, they started doing the YouTube videos to sell tickets to their shows. The live shows is what they do. Okay. And yeah, oh, they beautiful. Beautiful, funny shit.
Nice.
Absolutely had us rolling. So that was Tuesday.
Oh my God.
Wednesday was tech call for Give to the Max.
Ah, yes. I forgot about all that Give to the Max stuff because I didn't
have honestly, much. Tech call was the smoothest tech call I have probably ever seen in my life. Especially with how many moving parts there were.
Okay.
Because we had like 12 or 15 sketches. I think I heard
12. Like
we had over 10 sketches that we had to get through on a tech night. And we just fucking flew through it.
Okay.
And we even did it out of order. Because one person had something else that they had to go to. So we did all of their sketches first.
Oh my God.
So we did it out of order. But it just, everybody knew that they had to be on their shit.
Right.
And they did their shit and they got it together. And if anything needed to be changed, it was changed quickly and efficiently. And then we moved on. And we got out of there. Like, I think our whole tech was like 2.5 hours, maybe? Yeah.
I'm confused.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't...
No, we fucking flew through it.
Was there a TARDIS involved?
I don't know.
Maybe a telephone booth?
Yeah, no, it was... but we fucking flew through tech.
Okay.
I've never seen a tech this smooth in my life. And it did. And it worked, which was good because the next night was Give to the Max and we did our show and it went really well.
I heard really good things.
Yeah, we had a good crowd. We raised a bunch of cash. People were laughing throughout. It felt good. Like it felt really, really good.
Good.
Like, people were engaged. People were laughing. The membership of Fearless was engaged.
Nice.
With the whole process. Something that, especially, you know, we had COVID and then post-COVID world, and engaging people was rough there for a while. It was very much like a core dozen group of people doing everything and everybody else kind of falling off the planet.
Sure.
But this really felt like the company kind of went, okay, we're back.
Nice.
And it really, really felt amazing. You know, obviously there were people that were busy with other Give to the Max events
throughout
because people are involved in shit.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
With a larger community, a community.
So we didn't have everybody. You know, other people had other shit to do. Uh-huh. But we had a good, solid group of people that were there to act and direct and participate. And had some good chats with people afterwards that weren't in the company, that were thinking about joining the company, and just hanging out with company members and seeing the energy that they were bringing. And, like, they're... There's one guy who joined Fearless a couple years ago.
Sure.
But ever since then, things have been weird and silly. And, like, he's been in a few shows, but they're shows that I didn't see. And so this is the first time I've ever seen him act. And I was like, holy fuck, where did this kid come from? Because every scene he was in, he was just chewing the scenery. And he owned that fucking stage. And it was like, this... Yes.
I'm going to want names later for
reasons. Definitely. But yeah, no, it was like, what the hell? I'm sure everybody else knows who he is and is just like, oh yeah, that guy, he's amazing. But I had never had the opportunity to work with him before.
Okay.
And I was just like, fuck, this kid's funny as shit. but yeah, there was obviously with 15 or 12 or however many sketches there was, you're going to have a large group of people.
Sure.
And everybody was just in good spirits and having fun and having a good time. So Give to the Max was
good.
Fantastic.
Good.
Absolutely fantastic. Cannot say more good things about that.
Say more good things about it.
It was so good. It was funny. It was really, really funny. We had two sketches completely coincidentally that took place in an elevator.
I heard about this because I got them confused when talking with my friends about these things. And I was like, so there was a romantic fart in an elevator? What? I'm very confused. And I thought one person had written it, and then I heard the other person wrote it. And then I was like, what did the first person write about that? Yeah. No, two separate ones.
Completely by pure coincidence, there were two different sketches in an elevator.
So good.
And both were hilarious. So, yeah, no, ridiculous. There was a passive-aggressive Jesus.
Mm. sure there was.
Yeah. Kelvin had a slow descent into madness, which he does so well.
He does that so good.
And yeah, no, it was a ridiculous amount of fun. And then to just, you know, I acted in the things that I acted in, and then I sat down and watched the rest and laughed a lot. And it was good. Nice. So that was good to the Met.
Very cool.
Now we're to Friday. On mm-hmm. Friday.
Okay.
My wife went to the Bridgerton Ball.
Yes, I've heard about this.
Which I hear was a lovely time, but it also meant that my wife was away. Which was,
and when the wife's away,
Salsa slowly has a descent into madness because both of his kids had things going on.
Oh shit! did you have to like drop off juggle?
I had to recruit my brother-in-law. But we'll get to that. The first thing though was. my son and
that's
I.
That's why the brother-in-law wasn't there.
Yes, right. My son and I.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 months ago or so, my wife found Kung Fu classes.
Yes.
On in the Bloomington community thing, and right. My son has been wanting to do that, and you can have it, it's like in the ad. It's like, come join up as well and do this with your kid. And so that's what I've been doing. I have been doing Kung Fu with my son.
Yeah.
And on Friday was our belt test.
I'm sure Asher passed, but how'd you do?
and it's the white belt test. It's the beginning belt test.
Sure.
It really is. Like, for the last 3 months, we've been learning a lot of really fun stuff. But the test itself was like, here's a basic form and like a couple basic punches. Can you do them? Cool. Here's your belt.
Nice.
You know, this. Once you yeah. start getting a little further into it, that's when they're actually really like, you have to do well at these.
Right.
Right now it's like, do you have the basic building right. block down?
Absolutely.
But regardless of that.
Yeah.
My son, when he found out he passed and got his white belt, he was fucking on the moon. He was walking on cloud nine. He was like, I passed the test, I got my white belt, you know. So we both have our white belts now, and we're really looking forward to the next session, which starts at the end of January.
Okay.
So we got a little bit of time off, but talk to my son and have him show you some of the cool kicks.
I can't do it now. He's in bed.
Not right now, obviously. But
should have told me before bedtime.
Well, Thanksgiving.
Get him nice and riled up before bedtime.
Yeah. Come over for Thanksgiving, and he'll shoot. Because like on Friday, between him getting home and us doing the belt test, like there was a few hours there where he was just a ball of energy. Because he was so excited about this. So he was just doing flying scissor kicks across the living room over and over. And oh, it was rather adorable, but also like, dude, chill out just a little bit. Like, take a breath.
That sounds so cute.
So yeah, the two of us, we got our white belts and then immediately had to leave.
We'd stick around for the wine and cheese, but we gotta go.
Because my brother-in-law mm-hmm. had taken my daughter over to the Richfield Ice Arena because she was playing hockey during the intermission of the Whitecaps home opener.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, then.
Exactly. So for those that don't know, the Minnesota Whitecaps are the professional women's hockey team here in the Twin Cities. And they just moved venues. They had been playing at the Minnesota Wilds practice arena. Okay. But it's a practice arena. It's not built for spectators. You know, and but that's where they've been. But when the Minnesota Magicians left last year, it left the Richfield Ice Arena without a team. And so this was perfect for them.
Yeah.
So they swiftly moved in and, you know, signed a contract. That is their new home. That is their new arena, is the Richfield Ice Arena, because it's a spectator arena.
It is.
You know, and so they have their own locker rooms. They have their own dedicated space that is theirs.
Oh, good for them.
You know, and they have their arena. This is their arena now.
Nice.
You know? And a good seating area.
Yeah.
So this was not only their home opener, this is the first game that's ever been played by a professional sports team in this arena. You know, not a semi-pro, fucking pro. And my daughter got to play a scrimmage during the intermission.
So your daughter got to play a scrimmage during the intermission of a professional hockey game in an arena that you used to work in.
Yes.
Dude, there's so much inner family nerd stuff happening there. I can't even.
More is going to happen in a minute.
Okay.
So like I said, my brother-in-law had brought her there because she had to be at the arena at a certain time.
Right.
So he got her there and got her situated. And then when my son and I got done, we raced over there and met up with them.
Right.
And so got to watch the game. At reduced price, because my daughter was whatever. And then got to watch her play. And it was really awesome. Viewers will probably have heard me mention a few episodes back that Nine Mile Brewery has worked with the Minnesota Whitecaps to develop a beer specifically for the Whitecaps.
Okay.
So, Nine Mile Brewery, which is just down the road from me, has developed this Hat Trick Triple Berry Sour.
Sure. Yep.
We have talked about that. And that is a beer that is going to be served at the arena during Whitecaps games. So I was fucking stoked. I was like, yes. So we get there and we're settled in and I go up to the beer garden and I look at their menu and I go, oh, I don't see the 9 Mile thing. And the person's like, can I get you anything? And I was like, yeah, I don't see the 9 Mile beer. And they were like, oh, we actually don't have our liquor license yet.
Aww.
I was like, no!
God.
I was gonna have this at the arena during the game, and no!
Sadness.
No!
So tragedy. Just flip the entire concession stand over.
I was so sad. I was rather upset about that.
You would have cried a tear into your beer, but...
but I didn't have a beer! I had to contend with a hot cider.
Ooh, I like hot cider.
Hot cider was really good. But here is where things get really more
inter-family nerd hockey.
So the first intermission comes... and the announcer person comes out in the center of the ice and starts talking and something, I don't know. And then they're like, please welcome Presto. Presto is the mascot for the Magicians.
Right.
And Presto comes skating out, wearing a Whitecaps jersey instead of a Magician's jersey, wearing Whitecaps, but it's Presto's head.
Okay.
And Presto comes skating out, and then Presto, they're like, do you imagine, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then Presto has this hockey puck with the Magician's logo on it. And then he magically transforms that puck into a puck with the Whitecaps logo on it.
That's so good.
And then Presto skates off, and Rolly, the mascot for the Magicians, for the Whitecaps, comes out.
Okay.
And skates around. And it was just kind of like this transition
kind of thing.
Yeah. Aww. But Presto comes skating out. I'm like, fucking Presto, holy shit. Like, I thought I was never gonna see this stupid mascot again. And
did you have some feels?
I did, kind of, honestly. And then, like, during the game, the mascots were wandering through the crowds and stuff like that. And my son was like, I want to get a picture with Presto. And so we go and we take a picture with Presto, and I happen to be wearing my magician's hoodie. So, you know, I get the picture, and Presto sees my hoodie, and he does the whole, like, gesture to his shirt and, like, thumbs up, and he gives me a fist bump. And I'm like, it's really good to see you again, Presto. Like, genuinely.
Yeah.
And then we go sit down, and, like, we're watching the game, and I got to thinking about it, and it was just like, I wonder if it's even the same person.
Right.
Or if they just had the head laying around, and they were just like, oh, here's a thing we can do. I was like, huh, that might have been a weird thing to say to somebody. Whatever. But I started Googling it.
Right.
No. What happened is my brother-in-law and I were trying to figure out what the mascot for the Whitecaps is.
Okay.
Because it's Rolly, and it's like this blue bird. We're like, we're not sure exactly what it is. So I Googled it, you know.
Right.
Turns out it's a blue jay.
Okay.
Because blue jays are native to the area and are apparently also supposed to be loud and raucous.
Sure. You know,
sure, yeah.
Sure.
But the article I was reading happened to mention the fact that the person in the Rolly costume was the same people who were Presto.
Oh, my God.
So Presto was embodied by a married couple.
Okay.
And they would trade off. One of them would be in the body, and the other one would be the goal light.
Okay.
When somebody scores a goal, they turn the light on.
Yeah.
So the other person, so you could always tell who was in the costume by looking at who was at the goal light, you know, uh-huh. button. But it was this married couple, and they had done Presto for 8 years or something like that. And the article I was reading to find out what kind of bird this was like, yeah, this couple, they did, and when the magicians left, they weren't sure what to do, and then the Whitecaps came in, and they reached out to the organization and said, hey, we did this mascot thing at this arena for 8 years, do you want to, and the Whitecaps jumped on that immediately.
Nice.
So the people that are now doing the mascot for the Whitecaps are the people who did Presto. So when I saw Presto and said, it's good to see you again, I was talking to the people that had done Presto.
Oh, my God.
And also the other person that had done Presto was also in the Rolly costume right next to them. And it was just like, I had this moment of just like, oh my God. If I had read that article like 20 minutes earlier, I would have been like, it's great to see you, Kevin, you know? But I didn't know who was in that costume at that point. But it was just this like weird moment for me where it really kind of was this like changing of the guard, passing the torch thing from one team to the next. And yeah, I had a lot of emotions on that night. And then my daughter played hockey in front of a huge group of people, which she had so much anxiety about.
I believe it.
Because my daughter gets anxious. And then afterwards was beaming because it was amazing. And she had so much fun.
Barn performer, that one.
Oh, yeah. I told her, I was just like, I still get nervous before every show. Yeah. Like, this is normal. Don't let people tell you to, no. It'll happen, but you just need to manage it.
Right.
You know. But, yeah, so. she had a fucking blast playing. Good. So, yeah, Friday was a very busy day.
Did you happen to mention to anybody at the arena that you're looking for a job?
No. No. Honestly, the level of what they would need would be beyond you. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, honestly, what I was doing was important, but it was still fairly basic. Like, what they need to do, they've already got people that do it, obviously. Right. But like, they need to be a lot more keyed into not just a shot happened, but like, who took the shot, who blocked the shot, where was the shot from, was it a slap shot or was it a wrist shot or what backhand, like, they need to have all that shit keyed in.
I was saying that as a joke because you don't have a job right now.
I had absolutely considered
like
But, so. Yeah. Oh, also, they had some problems with that. They, like, had problems with their sound system, and I got in there, and my brother-in-law was like, yeah, there's little problems with the sound earlier, and I fucking lost it, because I was like, they have been having problems with that sound system for ever since I started working. Holy nice. Shit, busy. Busy week, yeah. Especially Friday. And then, like, on the weekend, we had a little bit of downtime, which was great. We kind of rested on Saturday, but then Sunday happened and, we gamed, yeah. we played some D&D,
nice.
And I made things for my family.
Yeah.
I do various crafty things, and I had a bunch of leather in a drawer that I had been sitting there for years and had moved over with me from the old house. And I was like, I should do something with that leather. And also I have these leather tooling tools that I bought for a project and then didn't need. And so I've never actually used, and I want to get some practice in using these leather tooling tools. And I've got some spare leather and some tools and some spare leather and some tools. I should, I think I can see where this is going. So I made some dice trays for my nice. Family, some leather dice trays, and they're monogrammed.
Oh,
dice trays! Yes, they are.
So you know whose tray is whose.
Mm-hmm. I dyed them black with a red monogram.
Sorry, you should have used their first name and not their last name, though. So also.
I hate you.
I know.
No, they have their first initial on there, and it's a black dice tray with red lettering. They look pretty snazzy.
Nice.
And we got to use them for the first time on Sunday for the campaign, and they did their job well.
Nice.
And they
very cool.
Yeah, it was a fun session, a fun gaming session. My kids are getting really good at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to find them a solid group beyond just the family gaming.
What's wrong with my group?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Good group we got going but, on.
No, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, it's good for kids to have experiences with people yeah. outside of their family.
Yeah, no, and this is very weirdo. Much a... There has been a lot of homebrewing the rules and things like that. That
sure.
You know, if you get into a different group, of things will be different. But,
right.
But that doesn't mean I pulled punches on them.
No.
You know, I definitely... No, I didn't mean that.
I honestly just meant like a different group of people is
absolutely.
The next step, right? That's how you grow as a gamer.
Definitely.
And as a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm. No, absolutely. No, they have continued to impress me with what they think of and how they react to situations and the creativity that they have and their willingness to let the story unfold.
Okay.
Without being upset when things don't go right, you know, and
mm-hmm.
being shocked at the twists that I throw at them and
nice.
And just enjoying and living and the pure joy that they get from this gaming experience has been so much fun. Just incredible watching those two do what they do.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And then
I was about to say, did you do something Sunday? Because even
that
God
was the, that
rested.
Was the gaming. That was oh, okay. Yeah, we gamed on Sunday.
I was about to say even God rested on the seventh day.
No, I rested on the sixth day.
Okay.
I mean, I took my daughter to hockey practice, but other than that, yeah, that was a day of relative rest. Yeah.
Nice.
No, Saturday is the day that I almost died.
What? Salsa.
No, I
what?
Being a little overdramatic. I do have an allergy to cats.
Oh.
Despite having cats, I do have a cat allergy, but
right.
You do get used to your own cats.
Right.
Over time. But we have new cats. We have these kittens. And so I've been a little like, you know, if they get a little affectionate and rubby on my face, you know, my eyes will itch a little bit, but it
sure.
hasn't really been a problem until we get to Saturday night when one of them at 2 a.m. decided that was the moment in time to love everyone. And she was just on top of my wife and my faces. Like, we were laying there, and she would just crawl on top of my face and dig under my neck and then go do the same to my wife and then come back to me. And just, like, 45 minutes later, we're like, Jesus fucking Christ, Kat, just lay down or something. And then I broke out in hives.
Aww.
Yeah, no, it was bad. I went and took a shower and took some Benadryl, and that eventually cleared up. But yeah, I was just like, fuck you, Kat.
you were being a little overdramatic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do that.
Just a touch.
I am an artiste.
Okay. Okay. Should we take a break?
I had a fucking busy week. Yeah, let's take a break.
All right.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I can get you 50 clowns, but do you have a specialty that you're looking for? Is there a specific goal you're trying to achieve with these clowns on unicycles? I love the idea that that's a conversation that could happen.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
And I'm Jenna.
We lead a charmed life.
I'm so happy right now. I told you about the first oral surgeon that I saw, right?
Yes.
I've told that story.
A couple times, actually.
So, listeners, you don't get to have it. You can go back into the annals of the... Yep.
You get to just think about the fact that Jenna just said oral.
I said annals.
You just said oral.
Oh, oral surgery, yeah. I did say oral. Oral. Glad I got to show you that fancy robe, Salsa. Now everybody's really going to be wondering.
It's time for a fast five.
Fast five! Oh, that's sad without another person.
Fast five.
Sure. Thanks.
Today's fast five comes to us from... Oh, James is going to be disappointed. Stefan Senpai!
Oh, Senpai! I said senpai for James, so.
Yes. To me, opening it's thoughts. Stefan. Kauai turned 3 months old this past weekend. This is from a few weeks ago, just.
Okay.
He has grown so much since we first let him... He has grown so much since we first met him in the hospital, it's simply astonishing. We spoke to our adoption lawyer recently, and they projected that should everything go forward as expected, we should have things finalized before Christmas.
Yay, Christmas present!
We are so damn excited.
Yay!
And on a side note, having been involved in some of the meetings getting ready for things like Give to the Max and Fearless Fest and stuff coming up... and just general staff meetings, having Kauai burbling in the background when Stefan's talking has just been, oh, it's been so nice. So cute.
Oh, someday I'm going to get to meet this baby. Hopefully still while it's a baby.
Question number one. Shampoo or conditioner?
Let's see.
Hmm.
I mean, first one, then the other. I don't...
Yeah.
Which is worse to get in your eyes?
The fake poop or the shampoo?
What?
So, I was channeling what? James there for a second.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I think James has more cohesion. Or less. One of the two. That was weird.
When we start comparing cohesion levels, you know things have gone off the rails. I, like, when I had short hair, I never used conditioner because I never needed conditioner.
Sure. That's fair.
Now that I have long hair, both are necessary.
Mm-hmm. So my hair went from straight to wavy to kind of curly to wavy and is now kind of straightish again. All within the past year and a half for no good goddamn reason.
Your hair is having an identity crisis.
Kind of. There's a couple of theories. Number one, I've started taking some supplements for the perimenopause.
Gotcha.
And hair changes are a part of hormone balance.
Sure. Yeah, things. Yeah.
So that's a possibility. You can also get what's called stress curls, where your hair just goes curly for a while you're in a period of stress, and then, like, as the stress goes away, then
you know, that makes sense, because Irish step dancers are really stressed out. Like, holy shit, stressed out.
So, so I went through a period, which means I got to experience what it's like to have curly hair after 40 years of having straight hair. And it's very different hair care, which, I mean, you hear it talked about, but until you have to actually go through it, it's kind of like, oh, well, that's a different thing. Like, regardless of which direction you're going, yeah. Right? And for curly hair, there is a lot more conditioner needs, regardless of length.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still have. Something called moisture milk. So if you have problems with the word moisture.
No, I have an ex who used moisture milk.
Yeah. But it's like super lock-in kind of a hydrating thing. But I would use that and leave-in conditioner for the curly wave stuff because otherwise you just get this kind of foof that happens. And it's not trying to brush
curly hair without conditioner is just an exercise in futility.
Well, and the thing is, I've always had really thick hair, and now my hair's thinning a bit. Mm-hmm. Again, perimenopause, thanks. So it is actually easy. I can actually get a comb through my hair now, which is bizarre for me. That's never been a thing.
Yeah.
But with the thicker hair... you'd still want conditioner to help get through some of that. Because it was so much. But the curly hair stuff, like, I honestly, like, I would wash my hair and while it was still sopping wet, comb and brush through it.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then put the product in so that it had the chance to reconstitute itself a bit, I guess. None of this has anything to do with shampoo or conditioner, but it is something I was thinking of when the question was asked.
And probably has nothing to do with the context either. But
yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Well, it has nothing to do with making a choice between the two, because I've always used both. I run out of shampoo before I run out of conditioner.
Oh.
I
honestly couldn't say. I think I use more conditioner.
Okay. Actually, that's kind of a tough call, although I think I still use more. I do, so the shampoo that I get is a lavender mint.
What a surprise.
Surprise. But I also like to use some of it for, like, an after soaping, just kind of an overall thin layer of body wash kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get that nice scent all over, and it is kind of a moisturizing shampoo, so... It just makes my skin feel soft.
We have a Dove body wash that's just
ready. Mm. I use the sensitive skin Dove bar for the cleaning. And then I use the shampoo afterwards a little bit.
I'm going to have to say shampoo. Both are necessary. And my hair gets pretty gross if I don't use the conditioner.
Okay.
Like, you know. But I have dandruff.
Sure.
And I use dandruff shampoo.
Yeah.
And if I do not use the dandruff shampoo on a regular basis, I get dandruff.
Right.
Bad. So I think I've got to go with shampoo.
Okay.
I can live without the conditioner. My hair would be not as nice, but without that dandruff shampoo.
Right.
I'm a mess. And I look like a snowy mountain peak on my shoulders.
Because I have that Slavic background. I have just greasy, oily hair. Mm. People are like, oh, you just shouldn't wash it for a few days. And I'm like, nope.
Hilarious.
So I think I'm going to have to go for shampoo just because of the grease. Like, if I go I think I can go roughly a day and a half before I start to look stringy.
Just look, which is just greaser. Awful. Yeah.
And I've tried the whole, like, just not, like, people are just like, try not shampooing as often for a while and your body will adjust. Nope.
No. Yeah.
Nope. Not mine.
All right. Question number two.
I almost gave you a drum roll. Other side, Jenna. Other side.
Brush or sponge?
What do you... okay, top of baby's head.
Oh.
And Jessa had some cradle cap going on. So I had just the soft little brush thing that I would use to help kind of navigate some of that. So I'm going to go brush.
I like a sponge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
For a baby's head or just in general?
Just in general and for a baby's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going sponge.
All right.
Question number three. Monitor or Minotaur?
What the shit?
So monitor might be baby monitor.
Right.
It might be monitor lizard, but I don't care because Minotaur.
Minotaur is just cool.
Minotaur's fucking cool.
Okay, here's the context I'm going to come up with for this.
Okay.
Do you use a baby monitor, like the sound baby monitor things or TV? I don't know. Things are crazy nowadays, but do you use that or do you do regular personal check-ins, like a Minotaur, like guarding your kid? That's the best I can do, buddy.
That is not even a stretch. That is like a pencil crayon drawing between the two.
Well, you got something better.
Do you navigate the labyrinth of toys to reach their crib to check in on them? Maybe I would go.
Okay. Sure.
I don't care. It's Minotaur. Minotaur is fucking cool.
I used a baby monitor religiously. I was a single mom and I needed my single mom time. So.
We used baby monitors a bunch for our first kid, but honestly, it never, like, we used the baby monitor for both of them, but we never really used it. Like, it was on, but we never really.
I mean, I suppose, so, like, for the first few months, at least, Jessa was in the room with us.
Yeah.
And then she got to a point where we moved her to her own crib and it didn't take her long. Again, she was born a 40-year-old woman. In fact, she didn't like swaddling. Like, right,
Lilibeth
as a newborn.
Needed one arm free.
Nope. Jessa just kicked it all right off.
If
right away.
If Lilibeth.
3 days old, she's like, nope, fuck this bullshit. I'm out.
If both arms were trapped, she was livid. And would not settle down. if both arms were free, she would get out of it, and it was like it was useless.
Okay.
But if she had one arm trapped and one arm free, then she was good.
Kind of like how when you're sleeping, having one leg out from under the blankets and one leg in, kind of a thing.
I absolutely do that.
I do sometimes. It depends on the temperature.
Yeah.
Honestly. But, yeah.
99% of the time, I've got one leg out. Yeah. But, yeah, no, by the time we put them into their own room, they were pretty well sleeping through the night. You know, we had one of those, like, bedside crib thing, the co-sleeper things, until they were big enough to warrant it. And then, like I said, it was always on, but at that point, they just were sleeping. So.
Right.
I'd have to go Minotaur.
I'm going to go monitor.
Question number 4. Brush or sponge?
Now, wait a minute. Now I'm... I was so proud of myself for coming up with the first one. Don't make me think more.
Be proud of yourself bullshit. For coming up for the second.
Brush or sponge? What else would you brush or sponge? Do you use like a little tiny baby toothbrush or like
when you
babies don't have teeth, Jenna? What are you talking
when
about?
When you're scuba diving.
Okay.
Would you rather brush up against a shark or touch some sponges?
I don't like the idea of scuba diving in the first place. Touch some sponges.
Oh, I'd rather brush up against a shark.
I don't. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I don't like underwater. No.
I think if I had scuba gear on, I would be okay with it.
Nope. Not okay. I'm going to go sponge for that one then.
Okay. Question number 5. MD or LP?
Doctor or nurse or licensed practitioner, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, licensed practitioners seem to have more time.
I agree.
Like, and that's not to say that doctors won't give you the best care they can, but they always seem to be in a rush. Whereas a licensed practitioner, when I was pregnant with Jessa, I started with a licensed practitioner and then got classified as a high risk, so I had to transfer to a doctor.
Mm.
And, man, I wish I could have stayed with that licensed practitioner. She was amazing. And that doctor was an asshat. Like, he wasn't just busy. He was also an active asshole. Like, other people that had worked with him were like, oh, God, not him. I'm sure he's retired or dead by now. But, like, it was Dr. Crab, which was the most fitting name ever. For a doctor. He just took it and ran with it.
A little bit of nominative determinism there.
Mm-hmm. Just a touch. I'm going to say, unless necessary, LP.
Yeah, I'm going to LP as well. on my mother's side, all of my aunts are nurses.
Okay.
And both of my sisters are nurses. And they all run the gamut.
Mm.
Like, one of them was the county health nurse.
Okay.
One of them was an obstetrics. One of them was an x-ray tech.
Okay.
One of them, my sister was in, like, ER nurse.
All right.
She's married to a nurse who was also an ER nurse. Like, they flew in the helicopter, like, the trauma helicopters and stuff like that. One of my aunts what did she do? I'm blanking. But yeah, on my mother's side, all of my aunts are nurses.
Okay.
And I would take any one of them over half the doctors I've met. Because nurses just know everything.
going to do?
They just kind of have to know. Not only do they have to know everything a doctor does, but they also have to deal with everything.
Right. Yeah, you get a lot more of that one-on-one interaction thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And that's not to say that doctors are great. No shade on doctors. Absolutely not. Like, for 90% of my care, I would go to an LP. I think doctors, because they tend to have specialties, have to focus so much on knowing everything about that particular aspect of the human body that they just don't have any brain or patience left for anything else.
And I definitely understand why you have to have the MD come in and just verify everything and just be like, yep, everything looks good. I'm signing off on this.
Yeah.
But 90% of that footwork was done by the OB.
Yeah, it was. So,
all right. So we're going to go over to the context, and we have shampoo or conditioner. Ooh. When you are camping, do you only use shampoo to clean your hair, or do you go the full hair care process?
It depends on how long I'm camping.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just for a couple of days, what I normally do is actually a dry shampoo. So, like, if I start to feel greasy, I just use... And dry shampoo is basically just aerosol cornstarch, really. But I tend to not... if it's only 2 days, which normally I'm just camping over a weekend, so it's not a big deal. That's generally what I'll do, is just rely on that if needed. But yeah, if it's longer than that, honestly, I want to go camping for longer periods than just a weekend. I haven't had a lot of opportunity in my life. Oh, it's hard being a single mom and, like, trying to juggle all of that. Like, at a certain point, I was like, no, nope, that's not happening. Yeah, I think I want both. Although I do have spray leave-in conditioner, and that's probably the one that I would bring with. So that I'm using less water but still getting the conditioning I need. And it's an easy, just flip your hair and do it kind of a thing.
Honestly, when I'm going camping and it's just for a couple days, I'm showering when I get home.
I might do a baby wipe down or a lake, even though I don't really like doing that. But if I'm super gross, I might do a dip. But
no, you do the dip in the lake, and then your hair gets all dried out and stringy and crunchy. But it's a couple days.
Yeah,
I'm in the woods.
I'm like, oh no, you're smelly when you're isolated with you and just maybe a couple of other people know what they signed up for.
I'm going to smell bad, but we're going to sit next to a campfire and I'm going to smell like campfire for the next few days.
Yeah.
That's just,
I mean, I do still deodorant. I will deodorant every day.
Yes, yes.
You know, you do the basics, you do what you can.
At Fest, I will use the showers, but we have a bar of soap that is a bar body wash, shampoo, conditioner,
all in one.
Exactly. Doodad. And it does not work as well as anything else, but it's just at that point I don't need to
be a simplicity
thing. I don't need to be, you know, red carpet ready. I just need to stink less.
Yeah.
So I can go entertain people without having them want to leave. But yeah, 99.9% of the time, if I'm camping, I'm showering on Sunday night when I get home.
Yeah, exactly.
So
very same
shampoo.
Yeah.
I think, in the spirit, I will only use the bare minimum as opposed to a full care process.
Yeah. So I would say in the spirit of the question, probably shampoo. But I would. Yeah, if I was going for longer, I would probably bring a leave-in conditioner because I can.
Yeah. If I was camping for longer than that, I would probably use bring the whole regime.
Sure.
You know, I would bring my toiletries bag, which would have both.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, in that case, I'm going to go full hair care.
Yeah.
If I'm camping for more than a weekend and I am going to do an actual shower, I would do the full hair care.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two, brush or sponge. Which tool do you use to clean your bathtub / shower?
I use a sponge. I actually have a bathtub sponge specifically for the bathtub. It is only used on the bathtub. Mm. That's all it's used for. I'm weird about my cleaning tools, but...
No, that's fair. We have a brush. So. Question number three, Monitor or Minotaur? Oh, shit. Which would you rather fight? A Minotaur-sized monitor lizard...
Oh my God.
Or a monitor lizard-sized minotaur.
Oh, how big does a monitor lizard get again? So you were really close, by the way. You at least said monitor lizard.
A monitor lizard gets a couple feet tall and, I don't know, like 6 feet long, maybe? Okay. Big enough. And right. A monitor lizard will fuck you up. So having a bigger monitor lizard... is not a fucking good idea. So having a smaller minotaur is probably the better idea.
You might be able to reason with it a little bit.
Because even a life-size monitor lizard is already...
pretty fucking intimidating. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the monitor lizard-sized minotaur.
All right, I'm going to join you for that one.
Because then, yeah, it's going to come at me and try to eat my flesh, but maybe I can punt it. Okay. Question number four, brush or sponge. Which tool do you use to add texture to a wall you are painting?
To add texture?
Yes. Dear listener.
Oh, God. Shit.
Don't. Don't. Don't texture your walls.
I'm
don't do that.
I don't want to be in agreement with you, but I'm kind of in agreement with you.
Do you know how hard it is to clean a textured wall? Do you know how hard it is to clean a non-textured wall?
Now,
don't.
If the question was add multiple colors, like visually texture as opposed to physically texture. Right?
Don't.
I'm a brush person for that, for the visual aspect of it. But I'm definitely with Salsa on that. Just what? No. My bathroom has textured walls, and I didn't have to paint them, so it's fine. But at some point, I'm gonna want to clean them better than. Yeah. What I've been able to do thus far, and it's going to be a pain in the ass.
There is a reason that people who have popcorn ceilings get rid of their popcorn ceilings. Because fuck that.
Yeah. But no, for a visual aspect, I like painting. And I did so much shop work with paintbrushes.
See, I hate painting.
It's like...
Oh, when we have, it works out great because my wife likes painting. Mm-hmm. So when we, move into a new house, she's like, I'm going to paint this room. And I'm like, cool, you do that. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to assemble furniture because that's the thing I enjoy doing. I'm not a painter.
No.
I'm really not a painter. I'm going to go with brush. Yeah. Using a sponge with paint just seems unnatural.
I mean, I did use... I used a roller sponge when working on the fence.
Mm.
For the fencing booth. But that was much less about texturing and much more about getting...
Slopping paint
large
on the wall.
Swaths of paint on a fence. Swaths.
Question number five.
Yeah.
MD or LP? Ooh, fucking twist.
What a twist.
Which obscure format of music is nerdier?
Oh my God.
Mini disc or vinyl?
God damn it. Mini disc,
I have a mini disc player.
Do you really?
With mini discs, and here is why.
Okay.
When I was living in Switzerland... In 1999, It was right at that moment when, like, the iPod and mini discs were both just coming out.
Okay.
And there was kind of that, like, we don't know which is going to be the future.
Who's
going to
win out on this battle?
But fuck Apple.
Okay.
And so I went mini disc. I was like, yes, mini disc. These are the future. This is the way to go. So I bought mini discs, and I had my mini disc player, and I had all my mini discs, and I wandered around Europe listening to my mini discs.
Mm.
And then I got back to the States, and nobody had mini discs.
Aww.
Like, when I was in Europe, they were all over. They were like, yeah, this is a thing. I can buy my mini discs, and I get back to the States, and there's no mini discs to be found anywhere because iPods won that fight. And so I was like, well, fuck. So now I've got my mini discs that I had in Europe, and that's it. That's all I had.
Mm.
And then the player eventually stopped working.
Sure.
So I've got all these discs of, like, music that I listened to when I was traveling around Europe in mini disc, and I can't listen to them anymore.
So I still have a cassette Walkman.
Nice.
I don't have any cassettes, but I still have the Walkman.
The first cassette I ever bought was off my brother. And I bought the Top Gun soundtrack. And I bought Whitesnake.
Mm.
And those were the two cassettes that I bought, the first ones.
The first cassette tape that I bought was an Irish folk band that used to play at the
Nice.
Gallow Glass.
Oh, very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. I don't have that cassette tape anymore. I just wore it down. I know that name. But yeah. Actually, if we can take a small trip down memory lane. Growing up out at Fest, I was in the mayor's entourage with your wife and sister-in-law. Like, we were entourage kids, right?
Yeah.
Both of our parents were in it. And I was a few years older, so I would walk along with people, but, like, at the end kind of a thing. And one of the stops, so the mayor's entourage would do some walking, and then they'd meet up with the royal court, and the royal court and the mayor's entourage would process together for a while. And one of the stops that they made was at the rock over by Bear Stage, under that tree. Mm-hmm. I don't know what its official designation is. I just know it is the rock under the tree. And Gallow Glass was always playing there.
Mm.
And the queen at the time would always ask for whiskey in the jar. And I was at the very end, and I was just dancing my heart out to this thing because I'm a kid and fuck you, I'm going to dance.
Damn right.
And so, like, I have very strong associations with specifically Gallow Glass, whiskey in the jar.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear other people sing it, I'm like, that's not right.
And you're doing it wrong.
It's not right. But yeah, so that's just a little trip down memory lane. That's
nice.
Just that's a solid memory. Indeed. In my head from growing up out there.
I think the nerdier,
I'm gonna say mini disc is nerdier. LP is more hipster.
I was just about to say the same. Yeah, the vinyl is surprisingly mainstream.
Yeah.
So,
like, it's a niche mainstream, which is an oxymoron, but it is.
But obscure is definitely mini disc. Like, if you've got a mini disc player,
nerd.
You're a fucking nerd.
Nerd.
All right. Closing thoughts.
Yeah.
Come to the Mounds Theater on Thursday, November 7th. Okay. So I can see I should have gotten to this one a little sooner. Maybe if you've got a time sensitive something, let me know. Closing thoughts. Come to the Mounds Theater on Thursday, November 17th at 7:30 to see Fearless Comedy Productions' Give to the Max fundraiser show, Sketch to the Max. Tickets are pay what you can, and the proceeds will be divided between Fearless and the Mounds Theater's Give to the Max fundraisers. Oops. Thank you to those that did that.
If you have a TARDIS or a magical time-traveling telephone booth.
Maybe that's why we had so many people show up.
There you go. Yeah. See, you had to say it here. Now.
Now,
it,
yeah.
Now oh, the past can God. Happen.
Whew, right. We did not create a paradox.
Or did we?
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five button, and fill out the form and hit Submit. Do you have a shout-out?
I want to give a shout-out to my friends that showed up for my storytelling show. Duh. It was very nice of them, and they had lovely things to say.
Excellent.
Yeah. Also, a shout-out to Strike and Bruce, who co-produced that show. Mm-hmm. This is the second one of the series that I've done, and they are just wonderful.
Fantastic.
Doing all of this. It was a good time overall. So.
Good. Yeah. Likewise, I'm going to give a shout-out to everybody who showed up to the Give to the Max fundraiser at the Mound Theater on Thursday, November 17th at 7:30 to see Fearless Comedy Productions' Give to the Max fundraiser show, Sketch to the Max. Tickets are pay what you can, and the proceeds will be divided between Fearless and the Mountain Cedar Giver, the Max fundraisers. Thank you to all of those people who showed up for that.
Or will show up to that.
Will have had?
Yes.
Okay.
go with it. Just go.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All of you. Do you have anything to plug?
I do not. I don't have a goddamn thing scheduled for the rest of the year.
You know what?
Holy shit, this is weird.
Neither do I.
What?
Actually, no, I do. I guess I should plug. Auditions for Fearless Five Mythology are coming up. They are going to be the first week of December. I will get... Hopefully, I should have a link to sign up by tomorrow. If I don't, then I won't put them in the show notes, and I'll make sure to get that information out there. But if you're an actor who would like to act in a Fearless Five production, make sure you get signed up soon, because these spots are going to fill up fast. Yeah. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye, bye, love you, bye, bye, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you to Stefan for sending in a Fast Five that I probably should have read last week. on behalf of myself and the absent James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.